Now, we know that 80 to 90% of those patients, as I mentioned, they have a splicing gene mutation, namely the SF3B1. So that's usually an objective sign to tell us that this is not reactive ring sideroblast. But in this setting, with no other history, hypercellular bone marrow, erythroid dysplasia, and the presence of ring sideroblast, one could comfortably make the diagnosis of MDS, which actually is usually the most important step in the management. It's not as straightforward as it seems in many cases, because the dysplasia is in the eye of the pathologist, and there is obviously different expertise there. Dysplasia sometimes can be subtle and not easy to distinguish. In a study from MD Anderson, they looked at the bone marrow slice that they review from outside, and they saw almost discrepancy in 15 to 20% of the cases, and we see the same in our practice. I've seen cases called MDS or subtle dysplasia, and they had iron deficiency anemia, and I've seen patients that had clear MDS, and they were not called MDS. So it's very important always to kind of take the first step, making sure the diagnosis is there. We use other tools, obviously, cytogenetics. Nowadays, we do extensive gene mutation testing in those patients. There are panels used now called myeloid gene panels that span from somewhere from 24 to 54 genes that are commonly mutated. So we can identify almost an abnormality in 90% of those patients. They are not part of the diagnostic criteria, but obviously, they objectively tell us that there is a clonal hematopoiesis happening in those patients. So this patient, based on the bone marrow and the clinical presentation, would be a MDS with ring sideroblast subtype.